CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. The widening sex scandal at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas is claiming another career. CBS's Cammie McCormick with the latest.
A spokesman at Lackland says Colonel Glenn Palmer was relieved of his duties today. He was commander of the training group at Lackland, where the sex scandal was centered. He will be replaced by his former deputy. More than a dozen military instructors at Lackland have been investigated or charged with sexually assaulting recruits.
Staff Sergeant Luis Walker was sentenced to 20 years in prison in the first military prosecution in the sex scandal. In Syria, as fighting continues in the commercial center of Aleppo, the U.S. imposes more sanctions on Damascus and a key ally.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The Obama administration is clamping new sanctions on Hezbollah for its role in Syria. The Treasury Department says the terror group with close ties to Iran has supported the Assad regime's violent suppression of Syrians. The action freezes any Hezbollah holdings in the U.S., and it bans U.S. citizens and companies from dealing with the group.
The move comes as Secretary of State Hillary Clinton heads for Turkey in meetings on a post-Assad Syria. A security crackdown is underway in the Sinai Peninsula near the Israeli border.
Egypt poured troops into Sinai earlier this week after Islamic militants killed 16 Egyptian border guards in a raid near the Israeli border. Officials say Sinai has become a haven for terrorists and weapons smugglers since the Egyptian revolution last year.
CBS's Robert Berger. For the first time since the shooting that killed six people and wounded four others, worshipers are returning to the Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. In a traditional rite, priests will read the Sikh holy book cover to cover. Earlier, Governor Scott Walker spoke at a memorial service held at a local high school.
We mourn with you, we pray with you, and we support you.
Attorney General Eric Holder also joined the mourners and said protecting people of all faiths remains a top priority of his office. West Nile virus is potentially fatal, and officials in the Dallas area are looking at ways to eradicate the mosquitoes that are carrying it.
The area around Dallas has seen almost 400 cases of West Nile virus. A dozen people have died.
North Dallas County is the epicenter of the county, and the county is the epicenter of the United States.
Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins is asking the state and federal governments for help in killing off the mosquito population by spraying insecticide from the backs of trucks. Aerial spraying from airplanes and helicopters also being considered. Emily Troube, CBS News, Dallas.
Federal budget deficits headed in the same direction, up. The Treasury Department says the deficit increased $70 billion in July and is on track to top $1 trillion for the fourth year in a row. Stocks appear headed for a loss, the Dow off 14 points. This is CBS News.
It was the moment I realized I was about to lose my job.
I found myself searching for pills instead of just being with my family.
At that moment, I finally decided to get help for my addiction to opioids.
The prescription painkillers.
At TurnToHelpNow.com, you'll learn that opioid dependence is a real medical condition and that there are different ways to get help, including those in a private setting without the need for daily visits.
That moment led me to TurnToHelpNow.com.
Make now your moment. Visit TurnToHelpNow.com today.
Hey, this is Mike Rowe talking with Jim Twitchell, a real live Ford senior master technician. Can the work save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Get the works for just $29.95 or less after $10 mail-in rebate, plus a $10 bonus with Owner Advantage Rewards.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you for the works fuel saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Claim based on EPA averages. See participating Ford dealer for membership and rebate details through 83112.
The woman who was severely injured by a chimpanzee is trying to sue the state of Connecticut.
Nash's attorney Charles Willinger Jr. argued that the state knew about the dangerous chimpanzee and failed to take action.
They were negligent. They were wrong morally. They were wrong legally.
But state lawyer Maita Barra Inca argues there's no claim the state actually caused the injuries.
The only question before you is whether Ms. Nash may sue the state of Connecticut for injuries inflicted by a privately owned animal.
Travis, the chimpanzee, ripped off much of Nash's face and parts of her hands. Matt Dwyer, CBS News, Farmington, Connecticut.
Officials in Seaside Park, New Jersey are trying to get rid of poison ivy growing in an environmentally sensitive area. They can't burn it or use chemicals, so they may bring in some goats from Maryland for 3 weeks of dining. It could cost up to $20,000 to bring in the 18 goats and their handlers. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
I like saving money. I mean, it's not like I have a purse stuffed with coupons or... Okay, I do. The other day, I went into Wells Fargo to get help with a car loan.
Good news. You qualify for our double discount promotion. Get double the interest rate discount we normally give on select new loans and lines of credit just for being a Wells Fargo checking package customer.
And the best part? I didn't even need a coupon.
Come to Wells Fargo to discuss how the double discount promotion can help with the interest rate on your new loan or line of credit. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Subject to credit qualification. Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender.
Once upon a time, in a not-so-distant suburb, a handyman set out to put up a mailbox. The new cottage owners were anxious to get everything ready for their wicked step-parents' visit. Once, twice, thrice he drilled, and as he dug, sparks began to fly, and the village went dark.
Uh-oh.
The moral? To avoid a grim situation, always call 811 before you dig. Learn more at call811.com.
It's Friday, and that can be nothing but good.
Good.
Except the temperature's a little hot, but anyway, we're going to have Karen Vealy and Jim Deegan. We're going to have a good day today.
And now, here's Bill Vinica.
I have a good day every day. Every time. You may not think so. You may not think so. I think I'm doing fine. Synchronized swimming. Watching synchronized swimming this morning. And I'm still not sure that should be an Olympic event. I think it should be a Las Vegas show of some kind. But anyway, they work hard. They like practice 10 hours a day, and they're extremely, extremely agile and quite fantastic at synchronization. And all. I got to give you that. And then what happened today was, in the synchronized swimming, the commentators said Spain's swimsuits, these are the women, I guess they're always women, right? Spain's swimsuits might be too distracting. So Nancy and I look at that. I go, those are beautiful. That's not distracting. That's beautiful. And Nancy agreed. She said, those are beautiful. They were. Their swimsuits were just absolutely fab. Now, not wearing the swimsuits, that would be distracting.
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
Bang, bang. Let's do our flashback, our highlight in history. Our...
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
More ribs, more chicken, more pork, more beef, more onion rings, more potato chips, more beans, more fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, mo tater salad, mo house salad, mo Cobb salad, mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, mo brewskis, mo lemonade, mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osos in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo barbecue, please. that's two mistakes in 1 minute. Okay, we'll see if we can do better. Our flashback, our highlight in history, our birthdays, all that stuff. Highlight in history on August 10th in 1962, Marvel Comics superhero Spider-Man made his debut in issue 15 of Amazing Fantasy. Cover price was 12 cents back in 1962. On this date in 1821, Missouri became the 24th state. In 1874, Herbert Clark Hoover, the 31st president of the United States, was born in West Branch, Iowa. 1969, Leno and Rosemary LaBlanca were murdered in their Los Angeles homes by the Charles Manson cult one day after the actress Sharon Tate and four others were slain. My birthday is today. Born today, actress Rhonda Fleming is 89. And singer Patty Austin is 62. So we'll say happy birthday to them, but most especially happy birthday to you if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Wow. Now San Luis Diagnostic Center has a new MR scanner to meet everyone's needs. If you're somewhat claustrophobic or simply uncomfortable being placed in a small tube, you can choose the brand new 3 Tesla Open MRI. This new gold standard in MR imaging was previously available only at research institutions such as the Mayo Clinic. Now it's available locally at San Luis Diagnostic Center. It's the most open, ultra-high-field scanner in the world, and its state-of-the-art technology can diagnose disease far earlier. With radiologists specially trained in the interpretation of neurological and bone and joint diseases, San Luis Diagnostic Center offers an uncompromising combination of technology and physician expertise. The next time your doctor recommends that you have an MRI, insist on the best. The Ultra High Field Open MRI, only at San Luis Diagnostic Center. All major insurances accepted.
Karen Vealy, her own self, has shown up and is on deck, as I say. It is, we'll call it 14 minutes now after the hour, 12 o'clock. Hi, Karen. Thanks for being here. We're going to do CalCoach News Week in Review. That's what we're here. And we're going to start reviewing stuff. Now, we got a lot of unusual and crazy things going on. And let me bring up something here right away. I already have one up. Oh, okay, let's do this first, even though there's lots of stuff going on this week. Slow Homeless wins big in the ticketing battle. They did win big, but I'm still sort of disturbed that what can happen is. So I'll let you explain exactly what's going to happen with this.
Okay, what has happened is the Stu Jenkins and Sara Rizzo, the two attorneys that sued on behalf of the homeless, sued on the fact that they claimed that the ticketing ordinance was unconstitutional, that it didn't apply to public streets, that it was a property ordinance. A judge agreed and gave a temporary ban on that. It looked as if it was going to go bad for the city. So instead of, and there were two other things the judge agreed to, too, that, you know, you have to put up, the streets of California belong to the people of California. If you're going to have a street so you can't legally park on overnight, you have to have a sign that tells you that. You just can't decide that the streets have different rules in your city without signage. So there was, it wasn't in the vehicle code. There were a number of issues that they wanted changed. Well, the city went ahead and put another ordinance, not in the vehicle code, under health and safety, and again went after banning the homeless from sleeping in cars. And before it can go to court, the city approves, I think, about $100,000 more for legal fees to get an outside attorney to fight the two attorneys. And then in closed session, they agreed to the settlement agreement, which is just basically everything the attorney said. They said that, you know, the first ordinance wasn't had to be abolished. They agreed on that. They said the second ordinance cannot be used as, you know, it can be used only if it's actually something about health and safety. And then it needs to be a warning, a talk. You know, it's not the same. So it was downgraded. And after they get, and it has to be abolished by the first of the year. And then they have the right to do a parking ordinance, but they have to do it under California Vehicle Code laws and actually put up signage and do it in a different manner. But they can prohibit people from parking in their cars. They just have to do it correctly.
Well, here's what's interesting. And I don't know how far afield they'll go with their signs, but here's the thing. There's if you go up Industrial Way and Sacramento, but Industrial Way for sure, from Broad Street up, you know, past the shopping center, past Marigold on that left side, and the Graduates there at the end. They have signage that says you can't park there from 10 o'clock at night. I think it's 10 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning. And because that was the place that people used to park vehicles, you know, a while back. And that's where people used to park their vehicles. So they put up that signage. Now, I'm not saying that they don't do it anymore at all. But anyway, so the next thing is that, so then, they, of course, with the Prado Day Center, obviously people want to be nearer to it. So the question becomes, I mean, there's no question in my mind the city's going to throw signs up. The question is how much of it are they going to, put up signs everywhere? I guess, I mean, they almost have to.
And the issue is they'll have to be fair enforcement. This ordinance was started because the Prado Day Center wanted to do a parking ordinance. During the city council meeting, part of their proposal with the CAPSLO and their parking ordinance was to force people to use their parking by outlawing other. You can't make a law for one group of people. You have to, for example, when the circus was in town, do you think those people were ticketed for sleeping in their RVs over by the circus? You know, does this count for everyone, or does this count for a certain population? That was one of the complaints. And there, the city has a right to have its rules, but it also has to. You can't prohibit one class of people and put rules in just for one group. You have to have them. You know, they have to extend to the entire population. The interesting thing about this, though, is after all this, you know, basically everything the attorneys wanted, the city agreed to, except the city will not say they did anything wrong. And the city said they do not want them to get pay. They don't want them to get fees. Now, the two attorneys, Sara Rizzo and Stu Jenkins, I spoke to yesterday, they agreed to forego, which they plan to do anyway. They live in the city. They like the city, or at least Sara lives in the city. Sara works in the city, and Stu works and lives in the city. They agreed to forego the multiplied fees. There are laws that say that if you are an attorney and you're going to help someone very poor or indigent and you get your fees paid, you can multiply the fees and make them much larger. They agreed that they would not ask for multipliers. The city says it is opposed to them getting fees, but it's going to be a court decision, not a city decision. According to their agreement, they have a right, if the city does fight them and it takes longer, they have a right to get fees for that also. In the settlement agreement, the city agreed, yes, we'll pay extra if it takes us. If we fight you on the fees and you win, we are going to give you pay for that.
You know, and are the fees like typical fees that attorneys get, or are they less than that? I would assume they're less.
I think it's probably just a regular hourly rate. But okay. The other thing is they're not, this is the civil case. There's two cases. They were donating their time in the criminal cases.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, you know, so I think this will be their cost of, you know, this is what I gather, it's going to be their cost of the civil case. The other thing the city did win is all the homeless litigants agreed not to sue the city for damages. Now, they didn't agree not to go after their, if they did pay their fines, but they agreed not to sue the city in the future and say, hey, you woke me up, you scared me, I'm traumatized. They agreed not to make claims against the city for the actions.
Okay. Well, yeah, I have to say, I think that, now let me ask you this, let's go backwards a little bit. Now, any ticket that was given this year is forgiven so far this year?
Every ticket and all the criminal, because this was more of a criminal as opposed to just a regular ticket, they were up to $500 a ticket. So all the tickets are forgiven for this year. They're all expunged, completely expunged.
Now, is there any way for them to get money back if somebody paid?
I asked Stu Jenkins that yesterday, and he said that he thought that they could go back and sue the, you know, go for the ticket money because the tickets have been expunged, and go for it if they did pay their fines.
Okay.
But again, they can't go after the city for damages they agreed not to.
Quite a tale, Calcos News has followed this from the very get-go, and as a matter of fact, I'm sure created the action.
Well, I've kind of heard that was part of the motivator, but one of the interesting things about this, though, is the cost of the city. I bet when this is all said and done, there's $250,000 in costs when they could have, you know, in the beginning, the lawyer said, you know, we're not going to do anything if you just take away this ordinance and do this legally, put up signage. They made a statement, and the city fought tooth and nail, you know, no, what we're doing is legal, no, we're going to stand by it, we're going to fight it. And until the very end, they stood by that claim. Now, they're still staying by the claim that what they did was legal.
Was legal, yeah, I know.
And one of the interesting things in this, I think it's fairly obviously what has happened. But if I was reading different news reports on this morning, and one news report said the city council had voted in a special meeting to get rid of the second ordinance completely. And the other news report I read said the city council voted to keep the city ordinance. And neither one realized this was a settlement agreement. The emergency ordinance does stand, but it cannot be enforced as it was being enforced. So it's kind of, they really have to change the way they are. They can't just go do midnight raids.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, though. I mean, Sara Rizzo and Stu Jenkins has bought them time. But, you know, at the beginning of the year, we'll see where this is going to go. I mean, I think it's going to be a big mess again. I think it just will be. The people need to go somewhere. They have to go somewhere.
And I think the issues are good. You know, there are still people that are questioning the 70% with the parking program, that they're requiring people to give up 70% of their income in order to park. And part of the reason some of the homeless say this is too hard, if you're homeless and you're trying to get back to work and you're left with $100 a month for gas, clothing, the things you need to help your children, it can be very hard to go out and get a job. And it during one of the public meetings, the head of the Prado Day Center said it usually takes a year and a half to 2 years to get someone in housing. So for a year and a half, 2 years, you have no money at all. Why it all piles up, and then to get into low cost housing doesn't usually cost $8,000-$10,000. So there are some questioning of why the large fee for parking.
Here's a point that's kind of moot, because who can afford, you know, if you're homeless and you don't have any dough, who can afford to drive south every day and back? But, you know, what's interesting is the Arroyo Grande Walmart and the one in Phoenix, Arizona, are the only two Walmarts in the whole country where you're not allowed to camp overnight.
Really?
Yes. So that was one of the provisions when they put the Walmart in Arroyo Grande. The city of Arroyo Grande said we're not having anybody camp in the parking lot. But everywhere else except Phoenix, you can do it at Walmart. They let people stay overnight in the parking lot.
And I've gone in an RV with my dad. I can't remember. We were going to Texas or somewhere once, and we did stop in Walmarts along the way until we got to the RV park we were staying in.
Okay, we're going to go to our next subject. And the fact that my phone is ringing right now is I've already explained what the problem was. But our fear here is not really a fleeting obscenity, which the FCC says you can't have anymore. Our concern is a very deliberate obscenity to try to cause damage to Bill Benica and Radio Central Coast. And so Will Power, who people know from listening to me, I said I played his phone messages on the air and everything else. He's suing the city for $5 million. because a city employee, was it a fireman?
It was a fireman. What is his name? He's the same fireman that's under fire for Kerry Boyle.
Okay.
And he is actually the Coupa investigator. He's the one that went over and looked at the spill at the corporate yard and determined it was not worthy of reporting. And this is all around the same time, so I imagine Kerry Boyle being, you know, with criminal investigators from the state being here, and you know, he could possibly go to jail for some of the things that have happened, is probably not in the best mood he's been in as a firefighter.
There you go. So anyway, apparently pushed the bullhorn of the Mr. Powers, and that's an assault. And so but I'm going to tell you that in another case that involved Will Powers, and it didn't, which was weird. It didn't really involve me or the parties involved, except that Will Powers was picketing Spencer's and trying to say, don't listen to Bill Benica. You know, so in the process of that, there was a confrontation with somebody, and so I've been talking to private investigators, law firms, all that kind of stuff that are representing this other gentleman. And you know, and they asked me. They said, "Is this man combative? Is he, you know, in your face?" And I said, "Well, that's his whole life. That's what he does. That's what he does for a living." When we went into Madonna Inn this last weekend, I didn't recognize Will Powers. I didn't know he changed, shaved, you know, grown a beard and all that. But there was a sign going, "Don't stay here. Madonna doesn't believe in free speech." So I take it what he, this is interesting. He creates a situation where he says he's probably told to please stay off the property, which the people that own property have a right to do, and go out on a public sidewalk. Well, as soon as they tell him he has to go out on a public sidewalk, then I guess he decides that they don't believe in free speech. So it's like this kind of crazy thing going on. It's going
and
on.
I'm not sure he's had a number of confrontations. I wonder if it's going to hurt his lawsuit though against the city. It would stand him to reason if they can show he has a history of being combative. It's going to lower his, you know, I'm peaceful demonstrating and someone came up and just did this. If he has other allegations of aggressive behavior,
right.
So in the other one at Spencer's, he's being sued for being aggressive, correct?
No. He claimed that the person that decided he didn't like what he was doing touched him in some way.
So he's suing at Spencer's and?
He's suing this guy personally. He's not suing Spencer's, he's suing this guy.
He's suing for an event at Spencer's and one at Costco. So
right.
He has two different events that he's suing, saying people were aggressive to him.
Right.
Wow.
Kind of curious, isn't it? Anyway, and of course, you know, when we talk about, you know, the phone calls that I've gotten here from that man, it's like, you know, they're just absurd. Talk about being confrontational. I'm not afraid of you, Bill Benica. Of course you're not. Why would you be afraid of me? I've never said anything to you. Anyway, so we'll see where that goes. You never know with juries. I got to tell you, if in fact he gets a jury trial, I just cannot imagine in a million years that somebody would say, yeah, you deserve $5 million for being a dope.
Well, you know, and I think his past will come up, and he's got a very colorful past. Yeah. And I think that will cause some issues also.
I still have the recordings if the court wants them, by the way. We've saved those. Anyway, now here we have let's take a break and we'll come back because we have just a monster story that broke. And LA, and interestingly enough, the LA Times is the one that first broke it.
Yeah, LA Times broke it. It's very interesting, though.
We'll be back after these words and with Karen Vili and CalcoastNews.com.
Hello, Central Coast. Charter Telephone is now available in your neighborhood. And now's the time to enjoy the savings for yourself.
Hello, simplicity.
There's no new equipment to buy. You use the same phone and phone jacks. And, of course, you keep the same home phone number.
Hello, savings.
Charter Telephone includes unlimited nationwide calling, so it's just as easy to call across town as it is across the country.
Hello, value.
Our plans come with 10 of the most popular features, including caller ID and call waiting. It's like your current phone service in every way, only better. And when you bundle Charter Telephone with Charter Digital Cable and high-speed internet, the savings only get better with one low monthly bill. So what are you waiting for? answer the call. Charter Telephone is here. Find out more at charter.com or call 1-866-608-4134. Service is not available in all areas. Unlimited long-distance calling includes U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 12/31/07. Call 1-866-608-4134 for details.
CalcoastNews.com, a weekend review, and we're here with Karen Vealey, and I thank you for joining us, Karen, and you're with Bill Benick also on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Boy, we got some things brewing here. We got stuff that, well, we got stuff. All right, let's do this one because LA Times is actually the one that, you know, filed the story, and of course you give LA Times credit for that. But anyway, so Sam Blakesley said he was putting political aspirations aside and planned to work at a nonprofit focused on promoting common sense solutions to big policy problems vexing Sacramento. And he's already introduced legislation about accepting gifts and this kind of thing, and you know,
yeah.
And that it was shot down immediately. I mean, I don't know that he thought it was going to. I said to myself, you know, it's kind of an interesting move at the end of a political, you know, term to say, okay, I'm going to propose a whole bunch of things that really would be very wonderful, but, you know, the rascals in Sacramento could care less, you know. Anyway, so here's the deal. This is while, according to the California Reform Institute's nonprofit category, allows for a limited political activity if the entity promotes social welfare, according to IRS regulations. Many politicians have used nonprofit organizations to promote policy agendas, raise money for their travel, and fund athletic tournaments and other popular events with voters. Even so, in June, the IRS stripped the tax-exempt status from another think tank, also run by a politician. The IRS concluded that the organization's activities, while not explicitly campaign-oriented, dovetailed too closely with its founder's political agenda. Now, the LA Times has basically said that the early strategic plan for the California Reform Institute devise and execute a plan that makes Blakesley a politically viable candidate for Republican statewide office in 2014, according to the review by the LA Times. So the question becomes is, you know, what is the goal of this institute at this point? And was it originally designed for that, and now he's saying, but I don't want to run for public office anymore, which would be a smart thing to do.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he comes out with a statement regarding this.
Why would anyone, out of curiosity, and Sam's an intelligent man, why would you want to be the governor of California, for God's sake? Seriously, I mean, there's just no good reason to be the governor of California. I mean, be the governor of some other state.
People that want to be in politics want to be in politics.
I guess. I don't
And then people that don't want to be in politics, I'm curious to see what offices here in this area are going to actually be run for. I've never seen this few people running for certain offices. They may have to appoint someone in Grover Beach if no one will run. This is how bad things are getting.
Well, and you know what? Because there's just so many people have mud on their faces for some of the stuff they do that it's like, you know, it becomes just amazing. There's countless things we've seen going on that are just preposterous. Let's talk about, and I have something else. You had a story somewhere else about somebody that did something that was kind of like, say, what? Anyway, we'll get to that. Let's talk about, you know what I haven't talked to you about for a while? What's going on with Kelly Gearhart?
Okay. Kelly Gearhart has an attorney, and they're working on a plea agreement with the federal attorneys in L.A. I called a couple days ago, and I asked about it. I said, where is that going right now? And they explained that there hasn't been a plea agreement filed at that day. I'm going to call back later on this afternoon. I'll call the federal attorney working the case. I told him I'd call him back Friday afternoon to find out. There is a court case, 2 o'clock on Monday in L.A. Cal Coast News will be there. Kelly is not under arrest now, but I suspect that he will most likely have agreed to a plea agreement at that point and will go in. They will likely then do the same thing they did with Jay Miller, you know, say, okay, you know, you're on these charges, but they'll let him bail out immediately. He won't actually go spend time in jail like Jay Miller didn't either. And again, this is a federal case. It's not a DA's case. And federal officials will often, they want to arrest everyone around the same time generally. So if this is, you know, and they don't usually like to arrest anyone until the investigation is over. The case is pretty well done. And I don't think I think that the federal attorneys may still have some work to do on it. So and I don't know this, but this is generally the way it works. When they threaten someone with 300 years and they don't, when they tell them they have charges to do that and they don't put them in jail, they're very often wanting a plea agreement so that they can go after public officials, which is a much more important issue to the federal government at this point.
So we ain't heard the last of this, is what we're saying. Okay.
No, we'll have something up on Cal Coast News on Monday, and if it's dramatic, if you want, I can come in Tuesday and talk about it.
Okay, good. Let's talk about Adams Hill's chief aides departing, and that's interesting by itself. Susan Devine is stepping down amid swirling allegations that supervisor exploited government resources promoting his campaign. And could tell us more about that.
And the interesting thing is, about 2 weeks ago, I asked Warren Jensen. I sent a public records request to Warren Jensen. I have many emails already that show that Adam Hill is using government IP addresses and setting out things such as pleas for money for his campaign, telling people why they should reelect him. And there are laws that say you cannot use government equipment to promote a political race or a ballot measure. And I remember years ago, Tom Bordenaro was using his phone to make some phone calls about a ballot measure. He immediately said he'd only done it a couple times. He knew it was wrong. He wasn't going to do it anymore. He didn't argue at all. He just came out and said, I'm stopping. In this case, you have them going, oh, we don't think it's illegal. There's nothing wrong. He can do this. And then he uses his personal address, his personal email address, and Warren Jensen says everything he does in his personal email address, even though he's using it from his government office, doesn't matter. It's all private as long as he does personal. Now, there was the city of Auburn was trying to claim the same thing. The First Amendment Coalition attorney Peter Scheer through the First Amendment Coalition sued the city of Auburn, I think in the end of May. It took them just a couple months. The suit never came to court because they said, hey, we want to settle. We won't do it anymore. We'll stop. We'll have better rules here. We'll do this. And they agreed to start being more transparent and more open to in following the, you know, they can no longer say, oh, I'm going to use a private email so you can't see it. And because it didn't go to court, it's not a standing case, but it's the way things are moving. It kind of says, hey, This is something that if you look at it, you're going to lose. The other issue is he's also using his government equipment to send out stories about Cal Coast News that are untrue. He's been going after our advertisers, trying to get them to quit advertising. Doesn't like some of the stories we write and has written, you know, has been using his government equipment to try to shut down a media that doesn't just write Valentine's about him.
Right.
So there's kind of... But I find it odd that Warren Jensen is backing him. But in the midst of all this, Cal Coast News, you know, we're getting these requests back. This new City Auburn case just came out. And about a week ago, I filed a claim I opened a case with the Sheriff's Department. They were putting addresses down telling people to go by and hassle me. that goes into, in California, we're very strict on cyber stalking. You can't put addresses out. And I don't know who was doing it, but it's the same threads that Adam Hill's been on topics in different places that Adam Hill's been then cutting and pasting. Sometimes right after they're posted, he's sending it out to a bunch of people going, read this, what just came out about Karen Vealey. And so we have the detective or the deputy told me that he would be doing a search warrant and to find out who this is. So hopefully this does come to fruition fairly quickly. But, you know, I think as these things come out, it is going to be it doesn't look good for certain people that have been. It's not what you're supposed to be doing.
But let me ask you this question. This is because we talked about the fact that Tony Coppola is not allowed to talk to you. I mean, will the sheriff's department do what they're supposed to do?
That's another issue. Is that there seems to be if you do not write Valentine's, what the sheriff's department has done, is not only do they not let Tony Coppola give us information, but then if he does give us information. If he's going to answer something in an email, they leak it to everybody else first. So they try to break your story so it gets to the point where you can't do it. They don't have to talk to you on the phone, but they have to give you equal access. So that one's a little bit more tricky, but the district attorney's office has refused to give us press releases for 3 years after we wrote a story about them. And so that is absolutely, the case law shows that hasn't worked in the past. If you refuse one media press releases because of you don't like what they're covering, and there's good reason behind this. The media is supposed to be the watchdog. If you have a story and they threaten you, hey, we're not going to let you know this, drop that story, and you conform, suddenly there's no government watchdog in the media anymore. You're just lapdogs.
Well, I think a good example of that is 60 Minutes. You don't see 60 Minutes going through the front door saying something smiley and happy and all that stuff. I mean, their job is investigative reporting.
Yeah.
The only thing about 60 Minutes, though, and I'm going to assume I think I know you well enough now to know I hope you won't do this, and that is if they find they've made a mistake, 60 Minutes, they rarely put a retraction on the show. And I've always thought that was totally unfair. I mean, they've really gone after some people really badly and then proved to be totally wrong, and they never say anything about it. And I think that's really a shame.
And they should say something about it. And I know investigative reporting's tough. For example, we had a correction, I think about a week and a half ago, regarding our story, the one that I'd asked Tony Coppola to verify some things. Instead of verifying, he just shot out a press release to the rest of the media. So when you have a contentious relationship with these government bodies, it's harder to get everything just, you will make more mistakes, I think, sometimes.
Well, that's what
so
I'm
we did
asking.
Put a correction up, okay. But it's important to put those corrections up.
Well, I'm asking you is that, so here we go back to my original question. With that relationship you have with the sheriff's department, which seems contentious, when you are they're supposed to serve a search warrant and search, do you have confidence they will do that?
I have confidence in the deputy I talked to.
Okay.
I'm hoping that he is not going to get some direction from above not to look into this because, Adam Hill and Ian Parkinson, Sheriff Ian Parkinson, Supervisor Adam Hill, are friends. That should have no bearing on me reporting something that's criminal in nature. Right. And I don't even know if Adam Hill, this may not be Adam Hill. I don't know who posted the addresses and told people to go by my house. I absolutely do not. But I know that posts above that and around that, Adam Hill, is right after they've been done, has cut and pasted and then sent them out. So he is going to those, and he is finding out about these things very quickly when they are posted. The deputy was fabulous. I even asked him, I said, he said, some people may not think this is a big deal, but it is, I think it's a crime, and I'm going to do my best to look into it. I thought he was, I wish I could think of his name right now, I thought he was very upstanding. And he didn't have any idea who Adam Hill was, not even a clue.
Well, here's the other thing that's interesting, and this is, everybody can say, well, this is this should be what happens, but, that's like, you wish you could sneeze quarters and you can't. But I think it would be a good time for, in this investigation, friends or no friends, for Sheriff Parkinson to, back the search and say that he's behind, you know, the sheriff's department and trying to find out what's going on, and I think it would do him well to do that. He may still not want to talk to you in the future. Oh well, but you know, I think in this particular case, you know, with the circumstances that are before him, I would hope that he would say, okay, I'm going to help my deputy.
And I'm hoping he will also.
You know what's interesting is, and I'm not saying this about Adam Hill because nothing's been shown yet, but here's the thing that's weird. You get people that they end up being buddies with somebody. You know, it could be Lisa Solomon. It could be all the people that are in the news. You hear about people in the news. Yeah. And somebody ends up being their buddy, you know, and they think, oh, I really like that guy. You know, and then they turn out to be a schmo, and they get mad at the fact that you expose them as a schmo. You know, or if you're associated with somebody that's exposed them as a schmo. And it's kind of like, well, what the heck is that? You know, it's I'm sorry if you find out that your dad committed murder, you know, 10 years later, but guess what? Pop's going to prison.
The amount of calls I have had, I'll pick up, you know, I'll answer my phone, and I'll have someone screaming and cussing. I think the most angry calls I had was when I started writing about Karen Guth and Josh Aguda. And there are still people that hate me and blame me for that they went to jail. Oh, they didn't do anything wrong. It was a sign of the economy. It's all your fault they went to jail. They've not gotten past it. But there are people that get very, very angry at you. I've been screamed at quite a bit.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I had to go to the Social Security office here a while back, and I'd never been to it. And here there's an armed guy. You know, they have a guard, like an armed guard. And I said, and you're here, why? And he goes, oh, you have no idea how people get when they come in this office. I go, do they think the money is doled out from here? You know, he goes, I don't know what they think, but you should see how they act sometimes. And I was like, okay. And I asked somebody else about it, and they said, oh, yeah, they just have people go completely ballistic. You know, because they're not happy with something that they decided. So I was like, okay.
When I was looking into there was a lady at Pismo Chamber that was running the Pismo Chamber and buying furniture for her house on the credit card. And there were also allegations that a bunch of cash was stolen from different events. And these were people at the events that were telling me, you know, I did this booth and we had this much in cash, and they said there was no cash from any of the event. So there was all these allegations. So I was looking into it, and one of the people involved has a little wine bar down in Arroyo Grande, and they said, well, you know, I thought, well, I'll just go in and I'll sit down and I'll order a glass of wine when she's working and ask her a question. Whoa. As soon as I asked the question, she grabbed my drink, she threw the wine in the sink, she was, get out, just screaming. You know, and her friend ended up going to jail. Last time I saw her friend, she had chains and was wearing red at the courthouse. You know, so she was stealing.
Well, I'm not going to say I don't. I understand why people get mad, you know, because obviously they're disappointed. They're hugely disappointed in the fact that, you know, they didn't think somebody would do such a thing, I think. And so they take it out on you, of course, is one of the people to take it out on. But I still, there's a bit of it that's still sort of a surprise to me. I mean, there's people I love and care about very much. But, you know, if I all of a sudden somebody said, by the way, they're going to jail because they were schmoes. What was I supposed to say? Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's and you why have I've told to you. Question sometimes.
That's why I've told you. That's why cops always look at people funny, even the people they like and know, because they always think to themselves, you know, this guy could fall off the fence at any moment. that's my theory about the look the police have.
And, you know, that's former Mayor Mike Brendler was a policeman. And that's something he's always telling me. He'll go, wow, I just read that story. I liked him. I voted for him. I did this. And they also, police officers, more than others, will say, boy, I was wrong about that person. They're not stuck on it.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, oh, I'm great at judging character. They actually go, wow.
Yeah. Which is, you know, kind of how life works. You know, I mean, I think that's how life works. Okay, so here, let's talk about, what do you want to talk about next?
What's
the next story? Well, let me see what we got. You always have to.
Oh, all the kidnapping and
gangsters and shooting and kidnapping and oh my God!
You know, we're having so many stories that sound like the same. It's a shooting, police officer involved shooting in Santa Maria. What have we had, 5 this year? And then on the other hand, up in Paso Robles, in less than a week we have, very short period of time, we have 2 kidnappings.
Right, we have a. And we have the little girl that was taken away to Mexico, or I guess they turned them in San Ysidro. But anyway, he's in big trouble with that. And it's just very interesting. And then you have, and here's the interesting thing about this, the story about your, remember Paso Robles Police and the Paso Robles, residents of Paso Robles, one of their biggest concerns is gang problems.
Yeah.
Well, Paso Robles has gang problems, and part of the gang problem they have is they have rival gangs that come down from King City, and vice versa, I'm sure. You know, and they have, you have this situation. So here this guy is sought in Paso Robles shooting, and he was from King City. And, you know, I think Sheriff Parkinson was very honest with me when I said to him, right after he became sheriff, I said, do you really think you can solve the gang problem? I mean, solve it? He said, no, we can't solve it. We'll never solve it, you know. Because I said to him, I said, the gangs have been here in California before it was called California. There's been gangs. there has been. So he said, yeah, all we can try to do is stem the tide as best we can. And I think that's a legitimate, you know, approach to it. Because, and he said, what we try also to do is in working with youth is to try to keep them from getting involved permanently in a gang.
And I think they've done a very good job. I asked for some numbers probably about 4 or 5 months ago, maybe longer, regarding how many times the sheriff department had stepped into different cities in the county, and they had gone into Paso Robles more than anywhere else, primarily because they were going up and they were short-staffed, taking care of gang problems. They have really, I think they have done a good job in trying to lower some of the gang violence. But with Paso Robles having such a anemic police force,
right.
It is.
Now they are running an ad in the Tribune, trying to hire an officer.
Well, they've been hiring, but people they hired one guy and he left 2 months later. There's a lot of morale problems there, I think, with all the different issues and lawsuits and.
It's time really, I think, to get somebody in there, as chief, as they haven't actually hired a chief yet,
No.
And get somebody in there that can, you know, somehow solve this problem. And there's people out there that can do that. There's people that can take a grasp of the whole situation and what the morale problems are and say, okay, we're going to change this, you know, and that's what they need, I think. I mentioned on the air this McConye down in Santa Maria, police chief in Santa Maria, and that he finally stepped down. And so I went with what you said, and I think it's legitimate. I think if the police union says of any police department head, we really don't like the way he's doing things. And it's not like he makes us shine our shoes and stuff. That's not what they care about. You know, we're talking about just policy and how things are carried out. And so I'll go with the police union. I will not go with the people that say, there's been 3 shootings in Santa Maria. Yes, there have been. There have been 3 people with guns, and they've been shot. And the one person had a replica gun. How dumb are you? I mean, you're really a dumbo.
That sounds like suicide by cop.
Well, maybe. But anyway, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So, you know, you had Covarrubias Jr. sounds like the same thing. You know, then you had a sort of a legitimate, well, you have the other guy gets out of his car with a gun and points at the cop, on 166?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what do people think are going to happen if you point a gun at a cop? He's not going to just go, you want to put that down? It'd be nice if you'd get along with me. It's like he's going to save himself. That's what he's trained to do. So I think any criticism towards the Santa Maria chief when it comes to the, and I talk about the Santa Maria Police Department, I don't think the Santa Maria Police Department has acted wrongly in what they've done. There's this back and forth about the Covarrubias Jr. thing and should they have done it at that time.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
Only thing, though, that they said was, though, and I can understand this, is they said what we were concerned about was that this would, you know, first off, that he was suicidal anyway, you know, that he feared they had found out, which they had. And so there was 2 things. There was the fact that he was suicidal and he was quite possibly going to leave with that young lady when he got off that shift, which means you're stopping a statutory rape, you know, that you a possible statutory rape. I mean, you really are. That's what you're doing, you know. But sadly, you know, the guy, once again, you know, I said this to you about death by cop. I think that's what he did. I think he just said, okay, I can't take the shame of this. And that's what he did. But, I don't think the Santa Maria police have been wrong in any of this.
No, I think they could have probably handled that one a little different. But the shootings, I don't... From what we're hearing, it doesn't sound like any of them are.
Well, here's the other thing, too.
Problematic.
Covarrubias Jr., I don't know that they anticipated the fact that he was going to kill himself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think they thought that. So, therefore, they thought, okay, we'll just pick him up when the shift's over and, you know, he'll come along quietly. Well, I don't know that they anticipated the fact that he would, you know, pull out a gun and start, you know, threatening. Well, I'm going to say threaten people with it. I mean, if you shoot at cops and they're 10 feet away from you and miss them, then obviously you weren't trying to hit them.
No, I think he was shooting up.
Nah, whatever. So it's like just weirdness. Anyway, so that's what happened with that. But anyway, I hope Santa Maria can get a new guy. And I think they got a new guy, don't they? Oh, they have three people they were thinking about. Last report I heard, there was three people they were thinking about. And they felt like whoever the city person was that was doing the talking said, you know, we really feel that any one of these three people could really kind of put this department back on its feet where it needs to be.
So they're planning on hiring from within then?
No, they were. Okay. They didn't say. They just said we have three people in mind.
Okay.
So they, I don't know if they're from within or without. But anyway, you know, you get a situation, I got to tell you, and this is my opinion. I've always thought you should hire from within. It just seems to make sense to me that somebody that knows the ropes of your police department or fire department or something like that would be the most logical person. But if there's been enough gnarliness going on in your department that bringing somebody up that's been down the lower ranks, you know, been down a lower rank, that may not be the best thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It may not be the best thing at all. It may be the better thing would be to say, okay, we're going to hire outside of ourselves and let somebody new come in here and just, you know, they come in neutrally to begin with and then do what they do. So I can see that. What else do I talk about? We got a couple minutes.
What else is on there? Yeah, the interesting thing is we already have two areas. We have Santa Maria Police looking for a new police chief. We have Paso Robles Police looking for a new police chief. And, you know, someone had told me that they had had a couple calls from someone wanting to know about an opening in Arroyo Grande, which I haven't verified. There isn't, you know, right now there doesn't appear to be an opening, but there are, there is lots of talk that there are different people already looking into it.
Here's what I think we'll end on this. What was the name of that lady? Christine Lund in Los Angeles on Channel 7. I used to call her Mama Lund. She was the first news person that always told you what you should do, like, you know, wear a sweater, blow your nose, that kind of stuff. So, go ahead.
One more thing, the Destiny Myers thing.
All right, okay.
I think that is, and I had heard about this before. I hadn't written anything yet because I hadn't had it verified about the sodomy beforehand. But, it takes it down to such a different level. For those that don't know what happened, there was the one gentleman, Cody, that had been brought here, he says he came here to learn the drug trade.
Right.
They say they brought him here to teach them the breaking and entering trade. And when the head of that, you know, when the WISTO, whose house it was out of the house, Ty raped Cody.
Right.
And what some are saying is that when Destiny Myers came over, she realized what had happened and that the fear that this would get out to the population was part of what motivated this horrific killing.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Even though Cody claims that this is what happened to him, this other defendant, Jason Greenwell, who's 29, or 20 rather, in the Pomo, he's confessed and agreed to roll over on the other guys and the woman. So I think that's interesting.
And I heard that, from what I've heard, is he wasn't as involved as some, that he was sleeping on the couch for the bulk of it, and then went out for the drive, but he wasn't as, you know, he wasn't in the bedroom when they were doing the different things to her, breaking legs or what, knees and different attacks on her. He wasn't as involved, so I don't think he knows exactly. I guess when you do, and I don't know a lot, when you're on a long run on drugs, then you can just do a major sleeping thing and sleep for days. And I think he was in the middle of a long sleep.
Luckily for him, actually, because, you know,
they
never would agree to it if they thought this guy was in the thick of things. So I think that's going to be interesting to see what happens. But that's what we got for CalcoastNews.com this week. Go to CalcoastNews.com, find out what's going on every single day. And we'll have Karen back here hopefully on Tuesday after we find out what happened in L.A., and if not, when she can get here, she'll get here, and we'll certainly have her next Friday. Thanks, Karen. I appreciate you coming in today. Okay, thank you.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. Some call it a miracle drug, and now there's new evidence aspirin may be effective in warding off cancer. CBS's Barry Bagnato with details.
5 months after British scientists linked aspirin to a 37% reduction in cancer deaths, a larger study finds a lower but still substantial decrease in mortality.
Daily aspirin use was associated with about a 16% lower overall risk of dying from cancer.
The biggest risk reductions were for colorectal cancer, says researcher Eric Jacobs in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. But it's still too soon, he says, to recommend daily aspirin use specifically for cancer prevention. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Jerry Sandusky's already been convicted of sexually assaulting 10 boys, but his legal troubles may not be over. CBS News has confirmed that the U.S. Postal Service has been investigating whether the former Penn State assistant football coach shared child pornography with others and sent letters to victims across state lines for sexual purposes. A top commander's being relieved of his duties in the growing sex scandal at Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. Colonel Glenn Palmer was in charge of basic training at the base, where more than a dozen instructors have been investigated for sexually assaulting recruits. The summer surge in gas prices has arrived. CBS's Sam Litzinger joins us live with details.
Pam, the summer driving season has just turned more expensive. The latest numbers show the national average for a gallon of regular unleaded is $3.67, a jump of 34 cents since July 1st. Energy consultant Bob McNally.
We've had some refinery problems and outages and fires in the United States. This added to upward pressure on gasoline prices, particularly in California.
Crude oil prices are also on the rise, which doesn't help. Higher gas prices are unwelcome news in a weak economy, because if you're paying more to fill up your tank, you're probably cutting back on spending elsewhere, Pam.
CBS's Sam Litzinger. It's another big day at the track at the London Olympics. CBS's Steve Futterman is in London and joins us live.
Well, Pam, the American women win gold medal number 41 for the U.S. and break a 27-year-old world record. It happened in the 4x100-meter relay. The U.S. team, consisting of Tiana Madison, Allison Felix, Bianca Knight, and Carmelita Jeter, cover the distance in 40.82 seconds. The previous record was set by East Germany in 1985. The U.S. now leads China in the gold medal race by four. Live at the Olympic Stadium in London, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Vahe Guru, Vahe.
The community came together today to mourn the six people killed by a white supremacist at the Sikh temple in Wisconsin. Attorney General Eric Holder called it an act of terrorism.
We should sensibly discuss if there's a need to change our laws.
Four others were wounded in the Sunday morning attack. At the close on Wall Street, after being in negative territory much of the day, the Dow was up 40 points, NASDAQ up 2. This is CBS News.
Did you know you could earn a transfer discount just by switching your motorcycle policy over to GEICO? And if you already insure your car with GEICO, you could even get a multi-policy discount. I've always wondered what it's like to ride a motorcycle, to ride my steel horse across the land, fighting crime alongside a tall brunette, Francesca. Sorry, my mind went to a strange place there. Where was I? All the GEICO motorcycle discounts. Right.
Call GEICO or visit GEICO.com today to see how much our discounts could save you.
How do we get a diagnosis?
What are the stages of the disease?
When someone in your life has Alzheimer's, not a day goes by that you don't have questions.
Do we need full-time care?
Are there any new treatments?
So many questions. Where do you start?
How will I pay for this?
Where can I get help?
Alzheimer's.gov, a reliable resource for information about Alzheimer's and related dementias.
What happens next?
Where can I find answers?
Alzheimer's.gov. The answers start here.
A new study finds ethical standards may be ignored by some people who recruit egg donors.
A Columbia University study says a sizable number of organizations that recruit egg donors online don't follow the highest ethical standards. The study found that some don't warn potential donors of the risks associated with the procedure. Others offer more money for good looks, intelligence, or other desirable traits. Guidelines to protect donors from being exploited are set by the American Society of Reproductive Medicine, but they're voluntary and don't have the force of law. Frank Settapani, CBS News.
Another glass ceiling is broken, and it's on the sidelines of NFL football. Shannon Easton became the first woman to officiate an NFL game last night. She served as the line judge for a seven-man crew working the preseason opener between the Green Bay Packers and the San Diego Chargers. She won the praise of both teams' coaches. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We've got a program with an interest rate that's dramatically lower than the current rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage. It's called our 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage. The rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.625%, APR 2.94%. This incredibly low rate is locked until the year 2019. After that, it may adjust once per year. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN. We'll help you keep more of that hard-earned money in your pocket where it belongs. Maybe that's why for the second year in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination in the nation. I believe there's never been a more perfect time to refinance or purchase than right now. Again, the rate today on a 7-1 ARM is an amazing 2.625%, APR 2.94%. So give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN or visit us at quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates and more information, visit jdpower.com. Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
Let's talk about the Drake.
It's so weird. Every time I turn around, somebody's talking about Drake.
Isn't Drake the duck?
Yeah.
Hey, what about Sir Francis Drake?
Famous English explorer and maritime navigator.
How about the Toto Drake?
Now you're talking. In my book, that's the best Drake of all. Toto's Drake toilets are ultra water saving, excellent flushing, have extra tall seats, and Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has them in stock at really great prices.
I know you love Toto toilets, Pops. That Drake sounds like a winner.
It flushes like a champ, it's easy to install, and it's made by Toto.
So folks should navigate their way down to Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath and get one of those ducky Drake toilets?
Very clever.
That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, home of the Toto Drake toilet, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Hey, kids, remember lots of adults and kids, too, paid admission to enjoy the show. We must insist on absolute quiet.
Da-da-da-da. Movies, that's what I call it. It's movie magic time. I made that up.
Let's hope so.
I can tell Jim wasn't thrilled with that.
Well, you know, the magic part we have to work on.
Yeah, right? It's the movie part we kind of got down there. You know, we got to work on the other thing. All right. Hey, let's talk about things that are going on at the pond. Let's talk about, first of all, we'll do the general thing we talk about. Mm-hmm. We have, it's been panned, kind of. This is the new Jason Bourne thing, the Bourne movie, mm-hmm. and it's been kind of panned. Now, here's one of the things, though, that they said in this review, which I thought was, that what they said was it really bogs down. They take too much time discussing certain things, and they should have more action. Now, here's how they said this. They said, Jeremy Renner plays a much better spy than Matt Damon. And they said, but Matt Damon had the advantage of very good editing. What the hell does that mean? I thought Matt Damon did great at that thing. I don't care. Everybody gets edited.
That's an interesting commentary.
Boy, that's really weird to me, you know what I mean? I thought he fit that part perfectly.
Oh, me too.
But anyway, all right, so anyway, that's what happened with that. That was the thing I had with that. Let me see what else I got going on here. Let me see other things that are going on in the world.
Well, you know, that franchise, so to speak, if, you know, how far can you stretch it? I mean, and last week we were talking about James Bond. You know, they've reinvented that.
Yes, they have, but, we talked about this. If they do the right thing with a sequel, it's not to say they can't keep going. Look how many Harry Potters there were, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. 7, 8, 8. If you do it right, you can succeed with it. You can keep going. I mean, talk about what's the name of this crazy movie, the Inglourious Bastards 2, or that's not what it is. It's Sylvester Stallone, all those people that did that other thing.
Expendables 2. It's got everybody in
it. This has to be really good. And the sad part is, you know, when he takes off his shirt, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't look worth a darn, nor does Sylvester Stallone anymore, nor does any old person.
Yeah, but all Schwarzenegger has to do is say, I'll be back, and he's done.
Right there. Okay, so that's kind of weird. Anyway, so
yeah, watch the trailer for Expendables 2 and just count how many.
Oh, there's everybody.
Yeah, well, count how many stars are in it and how many explosions and car wrecks and rounds of ammunition, and there you go.
Now here's another article. They did the review of the movie and said they didn't like it, but they really liked Jeremy Renner, and they said that he said the replacement stars shine and some don't, but they like him in this movie. But if the movie sucks, who cares?
Yeah, you know, I mean, well, I like him too. He's quite a presence. That he was quite great in the Avengers, and to make a place in the Avengers when you got every superhero, you know, right, in the kitchen sink. I thought he was quite good. So he does have a great screen presence.
And, you know, and of course the Hurt Locker, you know, that won the Academy Award. I mean, you know, he did a great job in that.
Mm-hmm.
An advantage he had in that movie, if I can say this is to be fair, an advantage he had was it was something that had never been touched before. It was totally new stuff. There was never another movie like that. And it's one of those things where there'll be more movies that come out about Iran, Afghanistan. There'll be shoot-em-ups. There'll be different intriguing things. But you have to put a certain distance behind you. You know, mm-hmm. have those things behind you before it becomes viable to kind of do it. You know, now everybody and their great-grandmother could do a Vietnam vet movie, you know, Vietnam movie. Or you could do, and I'm trying to think, the last movie that had to do with Croatia and that whole area was,
I wish I could answer.
I'm going to try to help you because you're going to try to help me because I can see the characters. I can see the movie. I can see Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman was in it. And the guy who was in the first,
we should talk about something else and you'll think about it.
No, let me tell you. I'm going to just keep going here, making a fool of myself. Here's the deal. So it had to do with he was an aircraft carrier pilot, and he got shot. They were taking photographs, he and his co-pilot, and they got shot down behind enemy lines in Severnica or someplace. So this guy was after him. Nobody would let Gene Hackman, who was the admiral, captain, whoever he was, no one would let him save him. The international thing said, no, you can't get involved in this. And so then the guy was on the run the whole time. And who's the guy that was in Midnight in Paris?
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson was the pilot. You didn't see this movie?
No.
Behind Enemy Lines, it was called.
Oh, I didn't see it.
But that had to do with Bosnia and that whole thing. And, yeah. They photographed, they went over a thing and photographed lots of dead people that weren't supposed to be there.
Mm.
Anyway, I thought that Owen Wilson did a good job. There was, Owen Wilson before that, to me, I sort of didn't care for. I don't know why. There's just people you kind of go, I'm not sure I like this guy, you know, but he did a great job in that movie. Mm. So, and he's subsequently he's done, you know, great work. Now, here was the thing that was kind of interesting what is this thing called? Ticket. Total Recall, not the only film inspired by Philip Dick. Mm-hmm. So Total Recall, Blade Runner, mm-hmm. Minority Report, Paycheck, Scanner Darkly, The Adjustment Bureau, and The Dishonorable Mention was next with Nicolas Cage. Of the many movies that, you know, you could say ridiculous movies that Nicolas Cage made. I didn't think Next was great, but I didn't think it was terrible either.
Mm.
You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. I thought the special effects when they had the plane crash, I'm like, holy cow, that's really bizarre. So I wasn't ready for that when it happened. So anyway, but then the story gets kind of weird about the kids and all that. It got a little bit weird.
Yeah, Philip K. Dick, you know, very popular science fiction writer, no longer with us, but he did write a lot of books, and he usually put kind of an interesting twist on things.
All right, we have. Let me see what else is in here that's like happening right now. Oh, the campaign's going to start with Galifianakis and the other guy.
And Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
I mean, I was wondering if this movie, you know, Bill, the secret of not so much a secret of the movie business is the films that they don't think are going to be doing so great during the summer, they usually leave them for August. So we're sort of on the tail end of summer, and they're releasing some of these final films that they probably didn't think were going to, you know, measure up against Batman and the Avengers. But still, I mean, there's that surprise hit that comes along every now and again in August when they release something that they didn't think was going to do well and does. But we are in the sort of that tail end of summer as we are in the middle of August.
Yeah.
Dare I say.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Now, we're going to get to you in a minute. We're going to get to the Palm Theater. Let's see if there's anything else here. I want to mention this on the thing going. There's nothing, you know, Total Recall's out. There's nothing else going on, really.
We were talking about Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I guess that's more for a younger audience. And then there's something coming out next week from Disney, The Odd Life of...
Oh, yeah, a little guy that's part plant.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And there's a cartoon that's coming out. You know who's coming out with a cartoon? It's a stop action thing. Is the people that did Caroline?
Oh, that did pretty well.
Yeah, and this is a new one. I don't know why I can't think of it. But anyway, so it's coming out. So that's kind of cool.
And I'm not sure, but I think it's later this year that has that sort of stop motion thing to it. Even though I have to wonder if they're using computers to do it. But Tim Burton is going to do a expanded version of his movie called Frankenweenie. It's about a dog that's brought back to life and has sort of the Frankenstein overtones. But it looks a lot like what was the Giant Peach movie?
James and the Giant Peach.
And the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And sort of that style. It actually that is. Styled after, you remember George Pal, who did like Time Machine and things. So he did this thing called Puppet Tunes back in the 40s and 50s. They were short things, but they were all stop motion animation. And he was the guy who made a ton of those. And he also did. I'm just trying to think what else he did. Time Machine is probably his.
Interview with whoever it was that did Coraline, and they said that it was all stop action.
Yep.
Well, and I have to tell you, when you see that movie and imagine, I mean, I used to think that Wallace and Gromit was amazing.
Yes.
Holy dump truck. If you really look at Coraline and every element that's in there, and they said they had, like, dolls with 22 faces.
Yes.
She had, like, 22 faces, and they put the right one in and all that. But
yes.
Just, it was amazing. I mean, look at the little circus performance when they go in that little tent and there's a circus performance, and it's like, holy cow, how do they do that?
Well, it's so time-consuming. Of course, Ray Harryhausen was the master of...
Yeah.
Willis O'Brien was the guy who animated the original King Kong back in the early 30s. He was the inspiration for Ray Harryhausen, who did things like Jason and the Argonauts, Mysterious Island, the Sinbad movies, and things like that. But again, here's a guy who works, you know, 8 hours and he gets a minute of film,
every
motion, a frame of film or a couple of frames of film. It's like the old version of animation where each picture had to be drawn to move Popeye or Betty Boop or Bugs Bunny along.
Well, you know, they showed the set. They showed the set of the house for Coraline and whatever I saw. They showed the set, and it was it's about waist high, so it's easy to kind of, you know, move the figures. And then it, how would I say this? You know, the house was in about 10 by 10 feet. You know, so, and that was the outside view of the house. So, I mean, they make it pretty large to make it easier to do, but it still is just amazing to me how they did that thing. It was just absolutely nuts.
Yes.
So they're going to have another one coming out. I can't think of the name of it, but it's coming out.
Yeah, quite a craft.
Now, here was something we missed. So this is what they said about the stars that, you know, can you follow this? James Bond's Daniel Craig is magnetic. Pierce Brosnan was suave and sophisticated, but Sean Connery's still the guy. The less said about Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, and George Lazenby, the better. But don't forget David Niven.
I like Timothy Dalton. I thought he was a pretty good Bond. He was kind of more fierce and scary, kind of like Sean Connery in the early days. He was not to be messed with, and like Dr. No from Russia with Love back in those days.
They have Tarzan with Johnny Weissmuller, who said after Johnny Weissmuller was Tarzan, why would anybody else want to be Tarzan?
Boy, and there were a lot of Tarzans.
There were a lot of Tarzan. Sherlock Holmes, of course, they mentioned Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce. And this person who's writing this article says that's Sherlock Holmes. You know, Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce are Sherlock Holmes.
Well, if you want to be true to the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle books as opposed to the current Robert Downey Jr. Version, which I haven't seen. I've just seen the previews where he's doing the, you know, flying around and, you know, also, you know, he's a detective, but he also knows kung fu, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. He was in a boxing match in the first one.
Yeah, maybe that works, maybe. But in the books, he was rather frail and sort of a, you know, eccentric guy, not like Robert Downey Jr., where, you know, he's a superhero, so
right.
to speak. But those, you know, you talk about a new franchise. I think Robert Downey Jr. is going to continue to be Iron Man, and he's going to continue to be Sherlock Holmes.
I agree with you. And so now we say to ourselves, okay, can they keep this Iron Man thing hot? Hot iron. Can they keep the Iron Man thing hot? I mean, it's curious. Can they really keep doing that? And again, it depends on if you have Robert Downey Jr. in that costume, he's going to be fine because he plays that part very well. But now it depends on how well you're going to write the next thing.
Yeah. I think they're going to keep going. They're going to make another Iron Man. I think it's out next year. They're going to make another Thor. They're probably run through them all again and then have another Avengers. You know, they have kind of an interesting process. They have the separate films with the superheroes and then put them together as the Avengers. They'll have that probably in 2020. They've got it all mapped out, I'm sure.
2020. All right. Then we have Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield is one of the best actors of his generation, but he said, you know, Tobey Maguire, it's hard to tell if he'll ever replace Tobey Maguire. It was also too early for another Spider-Man, they said.
I think so. They're going to reboot Superman, I think, next year, too. It's called Man of Steel. I saw the preview. It doesn't look that great. So we'll see what happens. It's like they're kind of tweaking these heroes to put a new twist on them. I'm not sure they're going to do a Superman because they kind of botched it last time around, in my opinion.
In my opinion, too. But it was weird. I'll give it that. It was like, okay.
And it was too long, as I recall. A lot of these things, if they clock in about 90 minutes.
The whole movie, the whole point of the movie was to get to, you know, whether or not Lois Lane was impregnated by Clark Kent, so to speak. They spent the whole movie trying to get to that point, which is way at the end, 2 hours later. It's like, okay, yeah, you spent too much time on that.
Yeah.
Batman, they have the exception to all this is Christian Bale. Who is just the latest in a long line of actors to don the cape and cowl, but who also seems to own the role. Who's been better? Val Kilmer, Michael Keaton, and George Clooney are among the formidable performers who've taken on the part, with the possibility, exception of Adam West in the Batman of the 1960s TV show, no one has as much claim to it as Bale. I kind of have to agree with that. Although I have to tell you what, I like Michael Keaton when he was Batman.
Well, dare I say I like Adam West.
No, you didn't dare. Jeez.
Oh, come on. That was fun.
You know what was really funny? There was a toy store in San Luis Obispo where the surf shop has departed on Higuera Street next to Frog and Peach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Tom's Toys.
Yes.
Okay. And so they had a special deal where they had Adam West and what was the other guy's name? Ward?
Ward is the last name.
Yeah, Ward. Something Ward.
Yeah.
Adam West and Mr. Ward. Anyway, so they made an appearance at this toy store, you know, to sell Batman stuff, I guess.
Hey.
Anyway, Mr. Ward had a very wandering eye, as if I just can put it quite bluntly, and would say some outrageous things to the women that appeared before him with their kids.
Oh, nice guy.
Like, oh, okay. Let's get this guy under control, shall we?
That's why you don't see Robin in any of these new Batman movies, right?
Out of control. It can't be done. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what's happening at the Palm Theater, because good stuff is going on.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat. The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Karen Scott Audiology, now at her new location, 3220 South Higuera, Suite 320 in San Luis Obispo next to the DMV. Dr. Karen Scott has been serving the Central Coast and the community for over 30 years. What's important to remember is that hearing loss can occur at any age, from newborns to your grandparents. Let's stop the stigma of having to wear hearing aids. With today's technology, new sleek hearing aids are available. Karen Scott carries Starkey, Phonic, Widex, just to name a few. They have the knowledge and the experience to help you with all your hearing aid needs. They also offer clinical audiology as well as industrial screenings. Call her for your free consultation. Call 541-1790. When was the last time you had yours or your child's hearing checked? How about that teen that listens to that loud music or that's not doing so well in school? They could be suffering from hearing loss. Karen Scott Audiology. Call 541-1790 because hearing really matters.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul. All right, that's it. That's it right there. All right, let's talk about what's going on at the Palm Theater. Now, I'm glad. I'm so glad because this week I so wanted to go and see the Wildebeest Down Under, the Southern people, and all that, and the little girl. And I didn't get a chance to, so you're going to keep it for a week.
Beasts of the Southern Wild.
Beasts of the Southern Wild still going to be there.
It's really quite a unique film.
Intouchables is still going to be there.
Yes, it is.
Okay, but you have a new one coming in today.
The new one is from France. It's called Farewell, My Queen. It was a very big hit in France. It doesn't mean it's going to be a big hit here, but it's a very lush, beautifully produced film. It's the Russian Revolution. We're talking about, you know, 1789, Marie Antoinette. She has her eye on a woman in her circle.
Oh, sure. Let's change up. Let's do that.
So there's a little bit of provocative sexuality here. But it has more to do with Marie Antoinette and the opulence. And outside, you know, the French Revolution is raging. I don't even want to think I know that much about the French Revolution, but it looks like a very interesting film, very lushly produced, and again, a big hit in France, and the reviews were great.
We'll go backwards about the other two movies because because I could remember the names of them. I was all proud of myself for sort of remember. But here's the thing. This was interesting. I had a piece today on the Olympics, and what it was is how much people in America really love the royal family and really get involved in that thing. And my opinion of it was really, we like it from afar. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know if I'm right about this. I think a lot of us think that all that pomp and circumstance and expense and everything to have a queen that doesn't actually do anything and a royal family that doesn't actually do anything is pretty preposterous, you know. But it's what I've always said, you know. I would have rather said when I was in Vietnam, I'm fighting for the queen than for Lyndon B. Johnson, you know. So there's a little romance to that, I think. But and we do find stuff in, that's British, but I think we find every country interesting, you know. And then the question was, how did the British find us? And they find us weird. They find us. They don't understand our political system. They don't understand just how we do things, and they're like, you know, sort of baffled by us.
You know, it's interesting, Bill. Paul McCartney, who performed at the opening ceremonies. I mean, he was talking about the Queen in a good way. Of course, you think of that last track on Abbey Road, where he's sort of making fun of the Queen, and way back when the Beatles. Well, I think John gave back the member of the British Empire medal that he got. But nevertheless, Paul McCartney was talking about the Queen and saying she represents Britain, and you would want her to represent Britain as opposed to the Prime Minister. And like in our case, you know, who would represent America? Like our President, right, or Secretary of State.
Right.
As opposed to another person who is supposedly apolitical but representing the country. Now, I'm not as taken with the British royalty as maybe some people are.
I'm not taking the point that they change the name of Big Ben to Big Liz. You know, I don't quite get that. You know what I'm saying? It's been Big Ben. That's what it is. It's Big Ben. You don't change the name of the dang clock somewhere down the road, do you?
Well, there is something about what Paul McCartney said where there's kind of a difference between a political representative and the Queen of England. I guess she's more of a all-encompassing representation of
I don't know. Now here's the interesting thing about this, because I had a guy from England that was a DJ for me, and was a character, and the women adored this guy. Anyway, but you know, he would say, I remember him saying to me, but I didn't pay attention to it. You know, they said, you know, you can't make fun of the royal family like you can make fun of the first family and all things like that. I said, what do you mean by that? I said, I've seen puppets that, you know, they said if you do it with puppets, it's okay. But you can't directly come out and do comedy about the royal family. I go, oh. That was way back when I first was talking, when we first came to work. A year and a half later, he goes to work for there was only at that time 14 radio stations in England, and half of those, or more than half of those, were the BBC, and then this was an independent. It was the next independent radio station was going to be on the air in England, and it was a big deal. In order to do radio in England, you had to be famous to begin with for being something, and otherwise, you know, he was like, he'd say to me, like, in America, can anybody do radio? I go, well, I'm doing it, aren't I? He goes, I don't know. I don't understand it.
Well,
but that was the deal, though. He said, you know, you that's the way it worked. Well, anyway, they're doing sort of testing of some kind, and he calls me on the air, and he says, Billy, this is Mel. I'm on the air here on radio, whatever it was called. I go, hi. And so I started doing one-liners about what was her name? Princess Di, you know, this was when she had her first child. And I said, I saw where Princess Di got off an airplane with a gynecologist. I said, you know, we use an office here. We don't do that flying around stuff. And then I said, you know, I also noticed that you sent me the postcard of the palace with the guards in front there to keep Philip in. So he's not saying anything. He goes, okay, Billy, it was good talking to you. He calls me later at home and says, you nut? Are you kidding me? They'll never let me talk to you again.
Oh.
And they're going crazy. And because what you don't realize is, again, it's like, you know, living in New Jersey and then you have all these other states around you that are much larger, that England, this radio station was broadcasting to Spain and France and all kinds of places.
Hmm.
Anyway, but I insulted the Queen, I guess. So that wasn't good.
Well, you know, Bill, you've been in radio forever.
Yeah.
I know that about you.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, remember the days the FCC, you know, regulated everything and radio stations were not real estate. They were like, you know, they were like rocks of Gibraltar in a community where you have to do public service announcements.
Right.
And so it's sort of more government run as opposed to when Reagan deregulated radio and became more like real estate. Now, maybe what your friend from Britain was talking about is like an independent radio station in Britain, isn't it all BBC? You know, it isn't all run by the government as opposed to, maybe that's why he was so surprised. I have an independent radio station as opposed to BBC Four.
Yeah,
BBC.
No, he said really he was delighted to be offered a job at that station. But he had been apparently in somewhere in England, Manchester's where he was from, there was a club, a famous huge nightclub called Jolly's, and he was the MC there. And he played, he could play the piano like nothing you've ever heard. He could sing, he told jokes, you know, the whole shebang. So, but that's the kind of thing you had to be able to do to get a job in radio in England. So I thought that was really fascinating. And boy, could that man play a piano. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we were at, real quick, I'll tell you the story. Went to the Inn at Morro Bay. The piano guy was taking a break. So I said, Mel, play something on the piano for us, you know. Oh, my gosh. The people started coming into the bar area, you know, and they're listening to this beautiful piano. I forget what piece he was playing, but it was absolutely lovely. Anyway, so then the piano guy came back in, so he sort of looked at it, sort of finished up, you know, and all that. There's people putting money in the jar thinking he was the pianist. So as the guy said, well, I'll take the money, but you shouldn't be here. And you could tell that he was, like, appalled that this guy could play a piano so much better than he could, which was the truth. Anyway, that's enough of those stories. Now, here's the thing. So we got things going on at the pond. Let me tell you, the wild beasts of the south. What is it?
Beasts of the southern wild.
Beasts of the southern wild.
You're close.
I was close. And that's about a little girl and her growing up?
Well, it's about sort of a, it's not really post-apocalyptic, but it's a different world. It's down in the south. It's near Louisiana.
Which is a post-apocalyptic anyway.
Yeah, we're this survival of this tenacious, actually she's supposed to be 5 years old in the film, but she was six when the movie was filmed. And her relationship with her tough father, and there's some environmental things that go on. It's really, I mentioned this last week. When you think of fantasy, we think of, Harry Potter or some of these superhero things. But this is, you could put this in the realm of fantasy because it's kind of been a different world, but there is poverty, there are living conditions that aren't that great, and of course we're down in the Delta there where things aren't so pretty, for instance, like after Katrina. So,
right.
I mean, I don't want to give anything away because it's an extremely unique film, but come see it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
And the other one's called Infection or something, wasn't it? What's the other movie?
The Untouchables.
Oh, that's what it is. The Untouchables. Anyway, I was close. It had N in it. Anyway, so Untouchables, and tell us again about what that's about.
This film is from France. It's based on a true story about a very rich fellow who is a paraplegic. He's in a wheelchair. He wants someone to take care of him who isn't going to pity him. He ends up with a guy with a crime-ridden past. He's from the streets, who ends up taking care of him. And it's the relationship of these two men sort of learning from each other. And the thing about this movie is here's a guy taking care of another guy in a wheelchair. The film is very funny. I mean, we have the audience just breaks up with a lot of the stuff that goes on. So your preconceived notions on a guy from the streets taking care of a rich guy in a wheelchair, very, very funny and very uplifting. I mean, you leave this film feeling really good.
And that's really cool. And, you know, I interviewed an 88-year-old World War II vet yesterday, but a fascinating man, a guy very, very lucid and he actually, under circumstances, there was no reason to have any sense of humor in the whole wide world. He was able to have some. And I was just really, it was not what people would have suspected. If I said, I'm an 8-year-old guy on the show, you know, and I want you to listen. But he was really, really fascinating. He was quite a remarkable guy.
Great.
Anyway, go to the Palm Theater. They got the best popcorn in the whole wide world. And they have the candy bars and, you know, all that. Not the suitcase size, just normal people size, as Jim said last week. And they don't salt their popcorn. You get to do it. They got plenty of salt if you want it, but you don't have to have it. And they got the buttery stuff. And then they have just nice people that work at the Palm Theater, and it's a great place to go. So this afternoon, 4:15, you can go to the Palm Theater this very afternoon and see a great flick. So I encourage you to do so.
Thanks, Bill. Hope you do.
Jimmy, I thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Dutchman's Seafood House on the Morro Bay Embarcadero has been totally remodeled. There's a new look throughout the restaurant, including a great bar area with plenty of room for you to hang. What I like the best is what the Dutchman's new Fargo Table Chef has created, a new menu that features fresh seafood. It starts with hand-selected fish delivered right to our dock and served within hours of being pulled from the ocean. It's the only way to eat. At Dutchman's Seafood House, you'll enjoy waterfront dining, creative cocktails, a nice selection of reasonably priced wines, and a tempting variety of entrees featuring seafood,
poultry, beef, salads, and award-winning clam chowder that's guaranteed to satisfy your hunger. When you walk in the Dutchman, you'll find an inviting bar where weekdays we offer special happy hour pricing from 3 to 6. Formerly known as the Flying Dutchman, you'll find the newly remodeled Dutchman Seafood House on the Morro Bay waterfront near Pacific Street at 701 Embarcadero.
Carl Benz patented the first automobile over 125 years ago. 5 years ago, in 2006, Star Automotive opened to provide dealership-level independent Mercedes-Benz services to San Luis Obispo County. Hi, this is Brian from Star Automotive. We would like to thank over 1,000 Mercedes owners who have trusted us with their vehicles. If you haven't yet, we would love the opportunity to serve you. You can learn more about us at starautomotive.com or give us a call at 543-STAR. We'll keep the smile on your face and the star on your car.
Up to 2 million Americans suffer from deep vein thrombosis each year. Many may look like the model of good health, but looks can be deceiving. While you may not see it, DVT is a blood clot usually found in your lower limbs. If the clot breaks loose and travels to your lungs, it may cause death. Each year, approximately 300,000 Americans die from DVT-related complications. My husband David was one of them. This is Melanie Bloom asking you to visit PreventDVT.org. Talk to your doctor. Learn the facts and risks.
Thank you.
Hi, you're Bill Talker, see friends and neighbors over. Hey, let me mention something if I may. Oh, wait. wait a second. Why did that? Oh, I see why I did that. I'm sorry. Wait a sec. Let me see what I'm going to do about this. All right, do that. All right. And get rid of that. And we do that. And we get rid of that, too. What the heck? You don't need that. Hi. You're with Bill Talker, Sheep Friends and Neighbors Network at 1340 KONS in San Luis Obispo. So here's the deal. Let me tell you about Charter, if I may, right away, because they got great things going on at Charter. They have the triple play thing that's going on right now, and you have three package deals that you put together for the package deal. And so one's your high-speed internet, which is the fastest that's out there. The other is Charter Telephone, where you can use your own phone number. You don't have to change anything, special phones or anything. You just use the jack you have. And then you got your... Charter HD, and it has all the it's movies and galore, and there's thousands of titles, actually there really is, and you can watch TV shows that, you know, if you like, if there's a series you've all of a sudden caught up with and said, you know, I kind of like this show, you can go backwards and get the primetime stuff, you know, they'll have back issues of that. So anyway, it's a great deal. It's $29.95 for each thing. $29.99, I'm sorry. $29.99 for each thing for a year. So that's the deal right there, under $90. And you get the Charter Triple Play. So just go to charter.com and click on Triple Play. That's charter.com. Click on Triple Play. And some restrictions apply. Go to charter.com for details. And just be smarter and use Charter. There you go. I do it. I use them. And get a DVR, for gosh sakes. Oh, my God, they're so great. They've even improved them over the old ones. I mean, you can do rooms, different rooms and all kinds of stuff, you know, with them. Quite amazing. All right, amazing. Here's something I should remind you of also. Don't forget this weekend. This weekend, there's actually 1,000 things going on, but because I had them as guests, I had Robin Rensler in here and Judith Bernstein. I think I should mention to you that they have the Day with Creative Women. With all kinds of wine, women, and song from 10 to 5 tomorrow in the Mission Plaza. So I'm going to have a lot of great things there, so don't forget that. Day with Creative Women. Okay, and plus the other 1 million things that are happening. All right, let's see what else we got here. See what else applies. Well, let me hit CNN and make sure that something amazing hasn't happened while we've been doing all this other stuff. Because you'd never know. I just never know. Come me hearties, yo-ho, yo-ho. Come me hearties, yo-ho. All you have to do is just appear, but you're apparently having a hard time with it. So, there you are now. Now I click you away for all of a sudden you're there. But now you didn't click away, now you're there. So that's... Oh, well, here's a big thing. Oh, well, they don't have a story. Well, I'll tell you the story of this. I'm telling you now. I'm clearing my throat and getting ready. Army's all seen super blimp makes a debut flight. The U.S. Army has launched the debut flight of its massive, long-endurance, multi-intelligence vehicle, or LEMVI. They have to have a special name. A souped-up blimp designed to fly continuously for 21 days and provide full surveillance of an area. The LEMVI was launched Tuesday from Joint Base McGuire-Dix Lakehurst in New Jersey. The last test flight lasted about 90 minutes. The all-seeing airship is longer than football field and taller than a seven-story building, according to a maker Northrop Grumman. Its shape separates the 21st-century hybrid air vehicle, as Northrop Grumman calls it, from the blimps that have flown over the sporting events for decades. The LEMVI is aerodynamic with a shape closer to the airfoil of an elongated football-like classic blimp. So while old-school blimps stay aloft because of a helium inside, the LEMVI uses the helium and its shape to achieve lift. So anyway, look at this Lincoln Park. I was hoping they won't tell you this, but I was hoping they would. At the time, the military is looking for more cost-effective options for intelligence surveillance gathering in place like Afghanistan. Fueling the blimp will cost approximately $11,000 for a 21-day period, which is pretty good. I'm not sure, and here's a picture of it. Oh, wait, here's a picture. Maybe they do say something. It looks like a big shark is what it looks like. It really does. It looks like a shark. Let me click on this and see what happened. Got to hear an ad.
If you had a dollar for every dollar car insurance companies say they'll save you by switching, you'd have, like, a ton of dollars. But how are they saving you those dollars? A lot of companies might answer, or no comment. Then there's Esurance. Born online, raised by technology, and majors in efficiency. So whatever they save, you save. Hassle, time, paperwork, hair tearing out, and yes, especially dollars. Esurance. Insurance for the modern world. Click or call.
I hope there's some narration. I'll do it. There's the big blimp, and it's rising in the air very slowly, quite frankly. And it's got two propellers in the back. It's like a segmented, looks like a bean pod, like, but more like a shark. And it's got a segmented with two sides to it, and a little funny thing in the middle. And it has tail fins, you know, that go off to the sides, as opposed to in the middle. It's noisy. And I don't know how high they're going to have to fly the darn thing in order to make it so that you can't see it and shoot it down. But I guess they got something figured out with that. I'm not sure. Okay, well, that was not exciting really at all to me. I'm sorry I did that to you. I feel bad now. I think that was just a waste of time. But anyway, that's the Blimpster. You know, they've had for years, you know, if you pick up an old popular science magazine, oh, say from 50 years ago, and then from 40, then 30, then 20, then 10, then 5, and then 1 in the last month, in the last week, you pick up a popular science magazine, they talk about blimps that are eventually going to carry cargo and do all these things. Well, finally, here's a blimp that's actually doing something. Okay. Now, here's a story right here. Well, here, first let me tell you what happened here. I could go over here to sports. I could go to sports. Why don't you go to sports? Okay. Here's the thing that happened with the sports. We won all kinds of gold medals like crazy, which is really cool. But then here's the thing I was going to tell you about. Andrew Bynum has been sent to Philadelphia in a four-trade team with Orlando and Denver, and we've picked up in L.A., Orlando Magic Center, Dwight Howard. And here's the thing. Dwight Howard, there's a trade analysis here. I don't know what they all say about it, but here's the point. There's been a lot of complaints about, you know, the not having a real strong center on the Lakers, and now, obviously, there will be a strong center right there, so that's what's going on with that. So that's the deal on that there. Okay. There's one more thing. Well, here, let me see if I can get this thing up here. The Honey Badger's been given the shoe. They don't have a story. LSU Heisman hopeful. Boy, how do you say this man's name? Matthew, a.k.a. Honey Badger, dismissed for breaking team rules. As we said, the Honey Badger don't care, but what may be more accurate is that Honey Badger don't play, at least not for the LSU Tigers. The team, which played in last year's National College Football Championship game, announced this afternoon their top player and arguably the nation's best cornerback has been dismissed for violating team policy. LSU did not say which team rule that he broke. The 20-year-old All-American ran into trouble last year when he and two other players violated the team's drug policy. ESPN reported it at the time that the trio tested positive for synthetic marijuana. There was such a thing as synthetic marijuana. Anyway, so that's the deal. They don't know what it's about. They don't know why it happened, and they don't know where it's going from there. But that's what's happened there. And not a wonderful world for him today.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah, right there. Hey, it's a weekend. Lots of stuff going on. This weather's going to be nice, and have yourself just a dandy, and then we'll get together at noon o'clock on Monday, and we'll talk some more then. Until then, my trails, be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye, 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 bye. Happy Friends.